Hello, everybody, and welcome back to a brand spanking new episode of Artsy Fartsy Immigrants. Normally, when I do these live TikTok episodes, we jump in from the get-go with me already being live, and it can be chaotic, so I thought I would just spend a moment here. Hello, how are you? Hope you guys are okay. Just a little private moment with the listeners before I log in, so you can feel the whole process from the get-go with me. It is around 3 o'clock on the afternoon of the day of this recording, and we have a lot of things to talk about. A lot of things I'm going to talk about with people on TikTok, and also just, you know, we have like of course the LA fires. We have updates about September 5, the movie that, you know, our friend Moritz wrote that I'm in, that you should go see in theaters now. Yeah, a lot of fun stuff to get into, a lot of interesting topics, but I just wanted to go ahead and get on live here. So I'm pressing live now. 3, 2, 1. Even if I, you know what's funny is, like, even if I don't have to cough, whenever I am about to do anything on a microphone, whenever I am about to, like, press record on this podcast, or whenever I'm about to, you know, make a video or jump into any sort of content creation in any sort of form, I always have to do an obligatory cough, like, just before I get started. But yes, I am so excited to just, you know, spend an hour here. I have a lot of topics I want to get into, and occasionally I'm going to be focusing more on the camera here and sometimes more on the audio, because it's two different audiences. But hello to everybody who's joining the live. We already have our first comment here. Says, sitting here drinking my funny juice at 3 o'clock on a Tuesday. Hey, Godspeed, man. We don't, you know, we don't judge. Okay, what's the thing? We listen and we don't judge. Isn't that the trend? We listen. That trend is the freaky. Oh, it's 8 a.m. Central Standard Time. You are drinking funny juice at 8 a.m. CST. Godspeed, my friend. seems like you need it. Go for it. Okay. I love that. I love that trend of, like, we listen and we don't judge, because I see people spewing out the most horrendous activity they have participated in. Like, we listen and we don't judge. Okay, so I was the leader of a cult that manipulated people into drinking toxic detergent, okay? We don't judge. And you're there watching their partner, like, mouth open, a gasp, like, you're George Jones, you know? but yeah, I just thought, you know, it's been a while since I combined, like, just jumping on the live, talking with whoever wants to comment, and also recording, you know, a new podcast episode. And I thought, why not do it today? So for those joining, thank you for hopping in. Thanks for liking. Thanks for being a part of the crew here. And for those listening, thanks for another week of being able to do my little community-based, heartfelt, and occasionally funny podcast, Artsy Fartsy Immigrants. Travel Junkie, thank you so much. They say, love your content. That's very nice to hear. I'm going to go into something right off the bat here, a little bit random. It's a little random, so bear with me. I don't know who else feels this way from time to time. I don't know if this is something that everybody these days finds themselves spiraling down just because of the excess of content availability that we find ourselves in this weird futuristic world. But I have been going down a crazy rabbit hole of people busting scammers. You know, like, I don't know if this is communicating properly. There are a couple of YouTube channels that I am obsessed with. Thank you, Travel Junkie, for all the likes. There's a couple of different YouTube channels that I'm a big fan of. And they, both of these different people do kind of more or less the same thing. They understand the kind of scams that would trick the average, let's say, I mean, it's usually like the specifically people from the United States. Temper War, Scammer Payback. Obviously, he's one of the two I'm talking about. And you most likely know the other one I'm thinking of too. I don't have his name pulled up. I know you know it. Let me see. Yeah, Scammer Payback is this guy, Pierogi, I think. And who's this other one I'm thinking of? He's so popular as well. What's his? Let me see here. Kit Boga. Yeah. Yeah, because Kit Boga has the viral video of like, do not redeem. Why are you redeeming? Do not redeem. I'm obsessed with these recently. This is such a random rabbit hole for me because I do not work in any capacity in this kind of industry. I don't work in online privacy, data collection, security software. I don't work anywhere near any of that stuff at all. But something about the way that Kit Boga and Scammer Payback do their content, I'm all about it, and I've been spiraling down. Like all of my free time, usually my free time is spent on things random TikTok content, or there's people who do like music, people who do reaction videos. I'm big into gaming content, or your average like video essay, film, television, video game breakdown, nerdy stuff, right? I am a nerd, and that is just the truth of it. I don't even know how this came across my platform. I don't know. I used to follow Scammer Payback, and then it kind of got boring for me, or I just lost interest for a while. And then I guess it was when he came back, and this is going to be for the real people who are on the internet all the time. But I think I gained interest once again when Scammer Payback was on Kai Cenat. He was like scammed this big streamer, and it was a big deal. I was like, oh yeah, that guy, right? And then he came back up on my YouTube, and I got into it. And man, like, every time I'm going to the bathroom, every time that I am, when I have just like, I don't know, half an hour or something to just waste time, that is the thing right now, momentarily. And this will change. By the next week, this will change again, because the week before this was being obsessed with this channel, Corridor Crew, which is a big channel. It's a well-established channel that focuses only on film and television visual effects. And I nerd out about that too. I get really into that too. But now this week is all about like getting back at the scammers. Cause I've had so many friends and family members who have received these scam calls and have gone pretty far with it. They've gone pretty far with it. And they've, been put in situations where it was pretty scary. Like my friend Matt was, borderline like at the last step before officially being scammed. He was the perfect victim for these people who call and say they're from Microsoft or they're from PayPal or whatever. And they say, oh, someone stole money from your account. And the only way to get it back is to put your money into these gift cards from Target or from Walmart. And, they obviously sound like they're from West Bengal or from Bangladesh, but they say their name is like Hunter Thomas or David or Ken. and you know, they tell you to put all money on these gift cards and then to like redeem the, or like to not redeem the gift cards, but give them the codes because they're going to redeem it. And it's just this like perfect thievery. It's horrible. Travel Junkie, the scam calls, texts, and emails are out of control. Yeah, there's something about, I don't know if it's like a data, it's probably connected to people selling data, which is like the way that every business is functioning these days. But like in the States, even before TikTok was like a big thing, before I felt like I was really like a part of any sort of major app, I was getting scam calls regularly getting these weird calls from unknown numbers. I have always had like intense anxiety about answering unknown numbers. So that has benefited me. It's been bad for me, but it has benefited me in terms of never answering one of these phone calls. So I've never, and also I knew about the scams, but I never answered any unknown numbers. And I was like, if they want to reach out to me, they will, back in the day at least, they would leave a voicemail, or if they're of a different generation, they would send a text. So I always kind of found out what was going on and what I needed to do if they were actually real people. The scammers would never, you know, send a voicemail, or maybe a text is like automated these days. In Germany, I've gotten unknown numbers calling, but you know, if it's like a +49, which is the Germany area code, if you get that +49, maybe it's like a doctor, you know, calling to say, you know, like, for example, if I had gone to a doctor to do a test, or if I'd done anything with some new business somewhere around Germany, and I got an unknown number from +49, it could, yeah, exactly, user 7456, da, 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 it can also be the police. I've had, you know, phone calls from maybe the police department, or from a business, or from a bank or something. It can be that. And it's more often the case that it is that. But I still don't answer them, which is, so I've never, you know, encountered like a scam face to face before. And online, like on an email, or on a social media app, for example, like I don't know why, but like my Instagram gets tagged in these scammy, weird posts all the time. And I have such weird hidden like request tags in like the scammiest, weirdest stuff all the time. And I have a feeling, because I see other content creators of a certain like follower status are also tagged, it's probably just them like mass spreading stuff out. Like that's the closest I get to it. And I always report it and block them and delete the post. But the phone call thing doesn't really happen to me so much. But with my friend Matt, to get back to that, he, you know, was called by, you know, he believed it was like Microsoft, I think, or whatever it was, his phone company or something, or his bank. It was like Chase Bank. And they were like, you know, your money's been stolen out of your account. Your account's been compromised and someone's taken it. And the only way to protect the money you have is to, you know, put it into these gift cards from Walmart. And, you know, if you're like in a vulnerable place and you believe that what you're being told is the right thing and that it's honest, then my God, you know, of course you're going to do it, even though the gift card thing is pretty weird and should be a pretty dead giveaway. But I don't know how I would have acted in that position, you know, 15, 12, 10 years ago. I don't know. But he got really close to the end before, I don't remember how he got out of it, but eventually he wasn't scammed, thank God. Let's see. I got scammed as a Dasher. I got a call that even said DoorDash on the phone. It's a big problem here. My God. It can be just anything now. And that's why, yeah, to bundle all of that together, that's why I'm so, that's why I'm so into these scammer payback videos right now. it just feels so good to watch people whose business is to take advantage of innocent, you know, maybe naive or elderly people or all the above, and to see them lose their mind, to lose their money, to fail, even if it's just for a day. You know, if they have their computer swiped, wiped clean, whatever, and they, even if they come back on and reboot everything in a few days, at least for those few days, they couldn't scam. And man, it's just justice, you know? Facebook ads are out of control lately. Don't tell me Zuckerberg isn't selling my information. Oh, I mean, Meta 1000% is. Meta 1000% is. I mean, there isn't, I mean, this is slightly off topic from that because selling data and being actively scammed by a human being is a little bit different, but everything you use online takes your information. I mean, this is also, not to tap into this too much, but that's another thing that I don't really respect or understand about the TikTok ban, because the argument is that they're selling your data. But if you have Facebook, if you have, first off, any social media app, but if you have a Gmail account, I mean, my God, if you've ever bought something online and you had to put an email in order to, have an account, like a guest account for the product, and they've taken your data. And the story is as old as time, where like, if whatever you're doing or signing up for is free, then you are the product. So TikTok is simply just part of this enormous old system. So for me, that's crazy. Yeah. Cookies. Yeah, exactly. Cookies. But Germans are nuts about their Datenschutz. That's like their biggest, and sometimes it's beneficial. Sometimes it's beneficial that they're so protective of their data, but sometimes it's also ridiculous. Like, there are some things you just can't control. Just applied for Kita. City wants income papers 3 years back. Germany and another. So someone here on the live applied for Kita. For those listening when this comes out who are not from Germany, it's basically like a daycare. And the city that they live in wants their probably proof of income from 3 years ago till now. And that's so typical of Germany. I was trying to think of the most intense thing that I've been asked for. I mean, it's interesting now. Like, I don't know if I really know anybody in this live right now. But for those who have listened to this podcast before, I am currently going through a process of being officially tested for ADHD. And what was interesting to me is that the standard form from two different clinics, because I had to do one that was out of insurance and now there's one that's on my insurance, but both clinics asked if I had like grades and tests and stuff from like elementary school, like Grundschule and stuff. I was like, I don't think we ever kept that stuff. I mean, why? I don't... I can understand keeping like your college degree, your high school diploma, if you were to win some awards, or like even like some participation trophies in sports or something. Sure, maybe, it depends like what you're feeling more proud of or whatever. I don't know. It depends on the parents, depends on the setup, whatever. But my God, like I would get a report card for, half a semester. I think you got like two a semester. And whether they were perfect or not, you'd go, okay, that's where we stand. Trash can. I don't remember ever keeping a report card. And of course, why would you think it mattered, right? Because if you're using the grades in school to apply for a college, then they can access those grades through the school system. So why would you need to keep the paper slip? And I have no idea how old these schools, like, I don't know how far back those schools keep the grades. I doubt they have them from me because now I'm father time. My friend got cornered by someone who says, I'm deaf, sign my petition. It's a scammer in Berlin. and a documentary film saved him. No way. Someone was cornered by someone holding a sign that said, "I'm deaf, sign my petition," and it was a scammer. I wonder how that scam was even supposed to work. The guy says, "The cameraman shooed my friend because they were filming, and so he escaped the scammer." That's crazy. I wonder what that scam was supposed to be. I guess they were asking for an email, probably, as well, or a phone number. I did my assessment a year ago. Luckily, I had my report cards. It made my ADHD quite obvious. That's funny. I would be curious what that means, how the report cards made it obvious. My grades were all over the place. Like, sometimes I would have, like what we called honor roll. Sometimes I would have really good grades, A's and B's, like across the board. And then the next semester I never failed a course, but I was pretty close a couple of times, a couple of different things. I was always really bad at math. I was just at a friend's birthday party, and I was sat next to a couple of mathematicians, and thankfully they were very sweet people. So, you know, we got along and were able to talk about things, and I'm a chatty soul, so we were able to find things that we connected on. But man, talk about, like, at first when you're like, oh, you know, they're like, oh, so you do jokes and you make music, and I'm like, yep. They're like, what do you guys do? Oh, you know, we're doing coding for privacy software. We're mathematicians, and we used to teach at a school. And I'm like, oh, math, huh? Wow. So lots of numbers. I have a calculator on my cell phone. Do you guys use that? Do you guys still count on your fingers, or is that just all in your head now? So the person from before said that their report card would make the notes. Like, she can't focus, needs assistance. She could do it if only she would focus. She would do it. She could do it only if she would focus. Love that sentence. Wow. Okay, so I don't remember us ever having extra notes on our report cards like that. Possibly we did. Julia says, thoughts on the TikTok ban in the USA. I am very curious how this is going to play out. Not only for me, but I have a lot of friends and, I mean, I guess it's better to say, like, professional acquaintances, colleagues, you know, whatever you want to say, like other content creators on the platform who, you know, at least got their start there. I mean, I have some friends, one in particular who is like in the millions of followers on TikTok. I'm very curious how that's going to play out. Because, you know, as history has shown, when you have something happening in the States about a decade or so later, sometimes less, it happens in Germany too. I'm curious how that will affect my audience. I don't think that, I mean, you see the news and like even the lawyers from TikTok are like, I guess the app will stay on your phone, but it won't update, you know, unless they, like Trump mentioned something about maybe delaying it, but because of his, like the ban would happen before he's inaugurated. So there's a chance the Supreme Court would delay the ban until he is inaugurated, and then he could have a say on it. But that might just be like fan service for the people who voted for him, who, you know, like were convinced through his promotions that he used TikTok for. You know, it could be lip service. I don't know. I really have no idea if he's actually interested in that at all. I doubt it, kind of, just for his age and because, why would he care generally? And he kind of makes these bold claims a lot. But I'm curious how it would affect my audience. I think because I'm living in Germany that it might not affect my use of the app, but I don't know what that means for when I visit the States, because I visit the States every year. I don't know if that means that, you know, a large majority of my audience will just no longer be able to access my content, if that means that my views will just plummet, if my, you know, sub count just halts, you know, or I don't know, because I, of course, I have a large audience in Germany. Like my biggest audience is on Instagram, and I think the majority of that audience is living in Germany, whether or not they are German or not. You know, it's hard to say. Mostly it's a lot of people who are from outside Germany living somewhere in Germany. I think my most popular city is in Berlin, but my biggest audience is on Instagram. So I'm kind of thankful for that in the sense that if TikTok were to just delete next week, just be gone off of everyone's phones, at least I could still make reels, because that's where I got my real, like, you know, that's where I got my, like, that for me is more important in terms of, like, making a career. Whoa! Emery's Cupcake, thank you so much for everything. Wow, I just got these unbelievable gifts and roses. That's very sweet. Thank you so much. If I had like thousands of people in this group, I'd say like, W's in the chat for Emery, W's in the chat. But it's like just a handful of people here. But I'm worried about just in terms of having this audience, like just not be able to access things anymore. You know, maybe falling back into like anonymity in terms of if that goes away, would they go to a different app to follow what I'm doing? Would they still be interested? Is TikTok just the platform where they feed off the things they enjoy and otherwise they don't use any other stuff? I'm curious. Elanira, would you migrate to the Red app? I've heard a lot about this. I have to be honest that I have not done proper research on this. I don't have enough understanding of you know, how trustworthy that is, how realistic it is that people would immediately just you know, take that on. I know people are kind of freaking out. I know people are in like a place of panic regarding the potential loss of TikTok, and they're kind of looking for, I hate to say like an easy solution, but they're looking for like a petty solution to like put the elbow into the rib cage of the you know, American decision makers to say, you know, so if it's not TikTok, it's going to be them. And if that's the case, if it really feels like people shift, then hey, you know, this is my career. My job is working through this medium as, you know, for the time being, besides, you know, doing the comedy tours. So, you know, if that's where people migrate, hey, you'll probably find me on there. I don't know. But I need to do more research to figure out if that's really the right place for me, if that's something safe I feel like people can rely on. You know, it's just too, for me, it's too new. I've only heard about it in like the last couple of days. Sarah says, I feel like the migration to the Red app, for those listening, let me just inform people who are listening because they can't see the screen, but there's basically been like a protest suggestion for millions of people. So if TikTok is like officially banned and it doesn't work on their phones anymore in the States, there is a different Chinese app, I think called Red Note, and people are being, it's been highly, highly, highly suggested to shift over to this app. It does mean that everyone basically starts back at zero, but it's sort of like a protest. Like, hey, if you're going to cancel this one, then we're going to go to that one. Which I think is interesting, too, that it's such a protest as opposed to diversifying more onto Instagram or YouTube. But again, at the end of the day, the stuff you're getting, the algorithm is just, it's just not comparable. It is a different experience, 100%. So Sarah, I don't think Red Note is something people are migrating to as a permanent solution. That's what I feel too. That's what I feel too. Comedy tour, do you plan shows near Dusseldorf? You know what? I actually have my, it's not announced yet. But I do have, a much bigger tour this year than I had last year. Let me see here. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine. So it's going to be The last tour was like 3 cities, and the next tour is going to be 10 cities. So I can't tell you exactly where. I can't tell you really the official information yet. What I can tell you is that for those who were not able to come to Hamburg, Berlin, or Munich last year, we are going to guaranteed come to a place that is much closer to you. We're all over the country, and to Switzerland, and to Austria. So you can really, 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 you know, you can be excited. I just can't announce anything yet because it's just not official. But you will know. I will be announcing the ever-living hell out of this tour because I'm very, very, very excited. Let's see here. Yeah, Red Note's not sustainable. I don't think so either. Yes, keep your eyes open. Jermaine, thank you so much. I'm so glad you liked the content. Thanks for being here. Marco, did you apply for your German passport? Like the citizenship? No, I don't think I'm going to do that. I don't think I'm going to do that. I have a friend from the UK who did that. And it was a lot of work and they really wanted to do it. And it was like a driven goal that they had from the start. But if I can kind of stay where I am in terms of having like a reliable work visa, a comfortable, you know, workflow, and having like my income, or no, not my income, I already said that, but I mean like if my rent can stay where it is, my income can basically stay where it is, and that I have my work visa in the position that it is, I don't need to keep like bumping up. Yeah. I would not want to give up my American citizenship. No. Like my friend from the UK basically was like, I'm German now. And I was like, Servus. Okay. Ciao. Danke. It's not like, for me, it's not something I want to give up yet. I just don't have it in me to give it up. Because my whole career is based around this, the observations, right? It's the whole thing is based around not being German and the lens of German behaviors through my non-German eyes. And as long as that is something that I can keep pushing forward and making new things out of, then, you know, I don't know. Even besides work stuff, like I just don't want to give up the American passport. I have hopes that if I can, you know, if I can like push my career into up on the ladder the way that I envision it, that eventually if I have enough income, I could even have a very small little place somewhere in the States where I could visit and like maybe live there a few months a year. Like I'm still connected to where I come from. I just don't go there now. I still visit, but like I don't live there in big stretches of time. It's just not, I can't afford that and it doesn't make sense. Roxy, I have 2 passports and would never give one up. I mean, if you have 2, hold on for dear life, baby. That's awesome. Yeah, don't let those go. Marco, are you from the Midwest? No, but I would be curious where you think I'm from. Okay, La Venenosa. Germany sucks with 3 exclamation points. Whoa, okay. 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 Why? Why do you think that? I don't think Germany sucks. It's a bold claim. Maybe Oregon or Washington State. No, I deeply appreciate that you don't think I'm from where I'm from, but I'm not from there. I've been wondering for years what's going on under that hat of yours that needs hiding. I have a big plan in store for a new photo shoot that's going to really put a lot of questions at ease and wonder. Like it's going to cease the wonders. It's going to be a really funny thing. So stay tuned for that. Where are you in Germany? I am in Bavaria. Let's see. I want to study master's in linguistic studies in Germany. What do I think? What do I think? I mean, my God, dude, if you have a passion for linguistics and you have the courage or the like a base level understanding of different languages and you want to go do it in Germany, do it. I mean, I don't know how old you are, but and in the end, it doesn't really matter. But like if you are a person who studies languages and you want to study German or linguistics generally and you can go to Germany to do it and it's not going to put you in the red, and you can gain some life experience and meet new people and feel that you've accomplished some new chapter of your life that you wouldn't have without having done it, do it. Do it. Audrey, yes, I am from New Orleans. Well, well played. Sorry, Marco. Audrey nailed it. And yes, I do live in Munich. Yes. But before we just ramble on in the live chat here, yes. So there was like this, this is like double, this is going back. How long have was I rambling here? Oh my God, 35 minutes. Jesus. I wanted to also talk a little bit about the LA fire. So there was like three, let me put this down. It's funny. The three people that I want to talk about in connection to the LA fires, all of their names start with M. But they have no connection. One is that actually, if I think about the YouTube gamer Markiplier who just posted his video about evacuating, it would be four people whose names start with M. Coincidence? I don't think so. Anyway, so our good friend of the show, Moritz, he is, you know, for those who are on the live, who don't know him, maybe is a good friend of mine. He, you know, he was just a guest on the show a few weeks ago with actor Peter Sarsgaard promoting, this film that was Golden Globe nominated September 5, which I had the pleasure of acting in and working on. And Moritz was in LA for the Golden Globes and the Critics' Choice Awards, but was forcefully evacuated back to Germany because of the LA fires, which is really crazy. It's a shame because he was there for this big, you know, like a sort of a career-defining moment. And it's not like the career-defining moments are over for him. It's very far from that. But it's a shame that he had to go there and then this horrible thing happens. Obviously, it's more important that people are safe and that there's that people are getting to places where they can, you know, hopefully get their some sort of sense of home and everything back together. But I did want to give a shout out to Moritz that it's a shame that with all of this going on in his life that on top of that he has to come home early. But all good news because everyone with an M is safe and happy and healthy. And I wanted to give a special shout out to a content creator that I'm a big friend, big fan of and a friend of who's done content with me before. He is a German guy named Martin Riese, and he is Germany's water sommelier. He was the first water sommelier recognized nationally in the United States. He's been on Conan O'Brien, and he's been on my podcast, and we've done videos together. Anyway, he lives just outside enough from LA to be safe, totally fine. But what he's doing, and I'll put links in the show notes, is that he is working with major water companies to make sure that people, victims of the LA fires, are getting plenty of water. So please pay attention to that. Go follow Martin Riese on Instagram. And thankfully, just a little shout out to my friend Mario Adrian, another good content creator who I've had on the show and we've done videos together. He lives in LA and thankfully got out in time before anything was to happen to him or his wife. And once they returned, hearing that the location was safe, their home was totally fine. So yeah, Martin Riese, go check out this charity that's working with water companies to send water to the victims. And yeah, shout out Moritz and Mario. Glad you guys are safe. And yeah, LA fires to the victims out there. I can't imagine what you guys are going through, and I hope that people are making it out okay. Funny thing. So I know, just to change the topic here, I know that I do not come off as an athletic person. I do not... I don't appear upon first impressions as someone who does a lot of sport and hiking and climbing and cycling. But I will have you know that yesterday, the first time in a while, I went back to my gym, and not only did my cardio, my necessary cardio, but I did some weightlifting, and my good God in heaven, when I tell you that I feel like the Tin Man from the Wizard of Oz, that I am like, I'm so stiff. I feel like rusted metal cans of beans that have been left out in the rain for months. Just so stiff. Like, I feel like I have this like fire burning in my chest, and my shoulders are like, just like someone took a bunch of marshmallows and just poked them into my shoulders, like with their thumb, until there was just no more space, and then sewed it up. And I'm like, oil can, help me, help me. You know, I forgot what this feels like. And it's a funny balance of, oh, I'm so proud of myself. I actually worked out enough that my muscles need healing. And the other part of me is like, why do I do this? Why would I ever do this? Who does this to themselves? This is why I took such a long break. This is why. Be fat. Sit down. Do nothing. You know? So I'm right in the middle of that. But my God. Oh. I slept so poorly as well last night. And then I woke up feeling like someone had punched my chest all night with Thanos's glove. Stones in, just, you know, it's crazy. And I have, speaking of sport, we are just about to drop our new merch pretty soon. We have some really cool sport merch coming. We're on the last step now of having that officially available for, the public for, yeah. So stay in tune for that. But I also, this merch is also very comfortable for people who are like to lounge on the couch on a snowy day and watch a good movie. Okay. There's no pressure to make sport, but if you're someone who makes sport, it's perfect for that too. Johnny Crash, thanks for the gift. I walked 9.2 kilometers yesterday. Hold on, dude. You walked 9.2 kilometers. Okay, for those Americans listening, that is 5.7 miles. You walked nearly 6 miles like a good germ. Who hurt you? Who punished you? Oh my God. Oh my God. David, I so enjoy your videos. Thank you so much, man. Thank you very, very, very much. I got off the bus in Weiden and decided to walk to my house. You know what that reminds me of? That reminds me of those video trends where it looks like Silent Hill. It's just like a cold, foggy night. And one guy is saying bye to another guy to party, like, all right, bro, I'll see you tomorrow. And they like handshake, and he's like, you need a ride home? He's like, no, I'm just going to walk. And he turns around and just kind of jogs into the ether. You know, I guess, know those videos where someone's just like, all right, man, I'll see you tomorrow. And just jogs into the mist, just gone. And I remember doing that so much in New Orleans. Like, it was after high school, but in those college days, you go to a party. You know, you maybe don't want to drive home, but you know you're far enough where you feel like you could do it, but you're far enough where it's like a question you ask yourself, but short enough where like that wins over in the end, and you're like, all right, man, I'll see you tomorrow, and you just walk and walk and walk and walk, and it's like 3:30 in the morning, your headphones are dead, and it's just like. You're just eating up reality, brother. You're just like, you're looking at those deep purple clouds. You know, you're like, you're Bob Dylan walking with your hands in your pocket, you're hunched over. If you're traveling in the North Country for, you wear it heavy on the borderline. That's why we were all skinny and hungry then. But yeah, back in college, you mean? Because we walked all the time. Yeah, I was mad skinny in college. There's a couple of pictures that I'll just sit there and I'll just reminisce. There's a couple of pictures where I sit there and I go, maybe I should have been a little bit more of a playboy. You know what I'm saying? Maybe I should have been a little bit more of a playboy. But I've never been much of that. I know you. That's vague as all hell. Because I don't, your name is T, but I'm very scared of, what you know. Thanks guys, by the way, for people who have, joined the live, who are liking the live, you know, you don't have to send anything or like anything, but I'm very grateful for those who are here and who are doing it. This is really fun. I'm really enjoying this. It's been a while since I, hopped on the old, TikTok live. Okay, this mystery person on TikTok wants to know if I want hints. Do I want hints? Do I want hints? David, I've never seen you live. You mean on TikTok live or live on stage? Because it's been a while since I've done both. Oh, dude, Johnny, speaking of dinner for one... Do you guys know that, so for those who don't know what Dinner for One is, I'll try and simplify it as much as possible, but Dinner for One is a very old stage play that was, it's like a one act play. It's like 11 or 12 minutes. And basically it, was filmed with just two actors. It's a rich elderly lady having dinner and a butler who serves her and her guests who are not there. It's a very, 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 very funny sketch. And it's kind of hard to explain the premise, but basically the butler, you know, is serving her and she's, is she blind maybe? Like, I think she thinks her guests are there, but he plays each guest and they always cheers her, like white wine with the fish. And okay, you have a port wine with this. And basically, they have like six rounds and it just escalates and escalates because the butler gets drunker and drunker and drunker. And maybe I have to put a clip of this in the show notes. It's very hard to explain why it's so funny because on paper it just sounds kind of boring, but it's extremely funny and it's British. But Germans love it for some reason. I think it's from the 50s. And anyway, extremely popular. And everyone and their mama watches it on New Year's Eve. And for some reason, Amazon turned it in. They created a prequel television series. Why? Why would you do that? Like an 11-minute hilarious sketch. Two people at one dining room table. It's a New Year's Eve routine. I've grown to be absolutely demanding of it. I'm such a fan. I love it. I laugh. I find funnier and funnier things about it every year. I have never not laughed out loud at it. Like, it's very, very funny. And for some reason, Amazon Prime was like, you know what? You know, yeah, Nico, we're talking about Dinner for One. Amazon apparently made a prequel series based on, like, because the 11-minute sketch is so popular. How ridiculous is that, man? They're scraping for ideas. T says, I met you when you worked at Starbucks. Oh, now, this is confusing. Are you talking about in Slidell? Because I actually never worked at the Starbucks. I was just... Okay. You met me there. Okay, I never worked there. I was just... I was like the hobo clung to the outside areas with Sloan and... It was Michelle and Kim and yeah, exactly. For those who can't see, she says that tracks. Yeah, I didn't work there. That was just my go-to. You know, I was just like, I was exactly at the age where like, I was also like living in Slidell for the first time, so I didn't have any friends. And that was the place where my friend Derek worked there and gave me free drinks. And I just started sitting there every single night. What a safe, reasonable place to go waste time, right? Like of all the places like a young teenage lost newbie boy could have gone, I just went to like the outdoor patio of a Starbucks and drank chocolate milk and coffee hours on end talking to very nice people who most all became, like, at least for a while, very close friends. Some people, you know, fade in and out. That's just the way life is. Some people became longer lasting friends later in New Orleans, but it's really interesting. Let's see. Heading to Munich next week. Where's the best Bavarian spot? Staying near Leuchtenbergring. Oh, man. I mean, so have you ever been to Munich at all? Because then you have to obviously see some of the standard things. Vivid Thing says, hey, bud, I'm an American in Germany, too. What are your plans after TikTok if it gets banned? We talked about that already a bit. I think to simplify it, just so people don't have to hear the whole story again, my biggest audience is on Instagram. So probably if things really get messed up with TikTok, at least I can put more of my focus on a singular app, because that's my number one platform. It's a much bigger audience than I have here. It's like more than double. And I'm going to miss this because this is like, I mean, it is one of my favorite apps. But, and it's where I basically got my beginnings, you know. It's, I love it. I'm going to miss it. Definitely. If it's really gone, like if it, you know, the thing is, like, again, not to like dig up old conversation topics, but if it's banned in the States, I don't necessarily understand how that will affect me here yet, except for there's a good chance. Thank you, Mike, for the heart. There's a good chance that I will lose a significant amount of audience engagement that comes from the States. However, with the biggest audience being on TikTok and the biggest audience from that platform being based in Germany, I just don't know how it's going to affect things yet. And I'm scared. I don't want it. I don't want anything to change. I don't want people to lose the opportunity or the access that they've gotten used to having. So, Johnny, if you don't have an American phone number, you'll just lose your American followers. But even that kind of sucks, man, because, yeah, I don't have an American number anymore, not for years, but I just, yeah, but because it fluctuates a lot, you know. My biggest audience is in Germany. However, sometimes it fluctuates for like 1 month, most of my engagement will come from the States. So if that just disappears, and that is a significant amount of people that just don't see your stuff anymore, because the greatest thing about the audience I've been very lucky to engage with, like you guys, is having that American, you know, German crossover thing. Yeah, David, thanks, man. Yeah, I mean, I see people already like really pushing their, you know, their links, like, you know, follow me here. Like, you know, you guys will find it. And if things, you know, crash, then yeah, I think we'll all go there. Johnny, most of my engagement is the crypto bros of Nigeria. So awesome. What? My God, dude. Oh, I wanted to. No, I guess I don't have that with me. I did want to. No, I don't want to. I was going to talk about this hot sauce that I'm really proud of, but I feel like we're in a good flow of just chatting, and I always feel like when you talk about something that you worked really hard on, it always feels like you're kind of, you know how like you watch a good YouTube video and then it like pushes an ad, you always just like scroll to the recently viewed part that like skips the ad. I don't want to do that. So, David, are you doing a podcast currently as we speak? Yeah. So, it's not often that I do. Yeah, that's why you don't hear this microphone right now. Like, I don't do TikTok live podcasts that often. Maybe once a month, maybe once every 2 months. Like, it's not my regular thing. I like to do it every once in a while just to you know, make something fresh and just to, yeah, I mentioned show notes. Exactly. Like, this will be the podcast that comes out this week. That's why when you guys type something, I tend to like read it out loud or explain it again to people who will listen later who aren't here. For me, it's fun just to do something fresh, to engage with people who are, you know, kind enough to be here and to follow me and stuff, to see what you guys are thinking, to see what's on your minds. And it's fun. It keeps things fresh and exciting. I don't know what will come up next. I don't know who's going to ask something. Or what they'll do. So that's always really fun. Regularly, like, my podcast is normally coming from the position of talking about the culture clash stuff, like what I'm doing in Germany as the American. It's, I try to keep it funny. It's personal. It's honest. And I have a lot of guests on. I have a lot of people like Mario Adrian or Martin Riese or Moritz Binder or Peter Sarsgaard or whatever, people who, a lot of guests that I've had on, like Chris DeSis, or a lot of great content creators who work in that field, who are people kind of with one foot on this country and one foot on another country. It's really fun. Let's see. Do you think Revi or Etika will carry your sauce? Oh man, we're not there yet, dude. We're not there yet. Like we just launched this hot sauce. We made like a limited amount of bottles. And honestly, I've been indulging in them so much that I'm basically keeping myself at the, you know, right at the zero line, because I keep like putting the money back into the distributor's pocket from me, because I keep buying my own sauce. I love hot sauces. I'm a big hot sauce fanatic. I feel like everyone always gets into a few things once they cross 30. It's either like wine or coffee obsession, or like brewing their own beer, or like cycling gear, or hot sauce. And for me, it's hot sauce. And I'm a big fan. I eat it regularly. I have so many different kinds that I put on all different kinds of dishes. And I was approached by this great company from the Netherlands called Heat Supply. They're Europe's biggest hot sauce distributor. And we made a sauce together. And for now, like if you wanted to get it, it's only available. Like they'll ship it anywhere. They'll ship it to Antarctica. Like it ships everywhere, but you can only get it through the link, like through the website. Mike, I'll definitely follow you to Instagram if TikTok does go. I'm in the US but work for a German. Oh, awesome, man. That'd be so cool for a German company. So your content's amazing. Thank you, man. That's so cool. Yeah, I mean, again, like if it really just drops out, then you guys can always find me there. Johnny, well, hopefully I'll pick up a bottle. Good hot sauce isn't too plentiful here in Germany. Man, I'm telling you, not to like toot my own horn, but I really love that sauce and I think you would too. You gotta go. All right, brother. Have a good swim. Thanks for being here. Hope to see you at the next one. Guys, I'm going to do about 5-ish more minutes here of a little bit of chit-chat, but I understand if people have to go. It's the middle of the afternoon, so. Vivid things. Maybe I could DM you. I have 50K. Curious on what will happen here in Germany after the 19th. So that's what we were talking about. Yeah, I feel like this is the hottest topic when you get on TikTok Live, when the app is potentially being banned in less than a week. Yeah, I mean, people are either going to go to these like protest apps just to make a statement. I think long term they're going to end up going to more reliable, dependable apps that have been there from the beginning, like Instagram, you know. And that's where I have my biggest audience, like I've said. Nico, what's become your favorite Bayerische phrase? Oh, man. My favorite Bavarian phrase. There's like, you know, I sometimes mix up Bavarian specific with deep Southern, like Alps German. Because I'm always going back and forth a lot from the deepest South to, you know, Munich. And sometimes I can kind of clash. I think my favorite thing to say, when I want to make a joke to a German that I get their lingo a little bit, can be like, oh, wait, my live. Oh, it just said my live is ending in 5 automatically. Oh, I guess it does just end automatically. That's crazy. Okay. Well, that's perfect timing anyway. But I love saying like instead of passt schon, I'll be like, bastu, which I don't even know if that's Bavarian. It's probably more mountainish, but like bastu. Or like, Jodiga, you know, Alter, ja klar, bastu, you know, I don't know, it's probably not even totally accurate too. It is 100%, but oh, great, okay, so yeah, I love that, bastu. That's, for me, that was like one of the first phrases I learned that I loved it. I just love how it sounds. I'm a Mexican living in Bavaria, and I think that most hot sauces have too much flavor for Germany. Dude, totally. I mean, that's why I've focused so much. This is actually the thing here. Ausfahrt Hell. This is the hot sauce label. That's why I focused so much on making one that me, coming from New Orleans, would want to eat like regularly on different kinds of things, like with shrimp or with sausage or with eggs, you know, like the whole spectrum, just because in hot, you know, in New Orleans, that's such a thriving, spicy culture that's, you know, including so many things from Mexico and from Spain and from France and from Africa. And it just is this beautiful combination of things. Yeah, I really like it. So yeah, if you guys like hot sauce, you like real actual hot sauce, then you can always get that in the link. But I think this is as good a time as any to wrap things up here. Guys, I would just like to say to those who have been in the live, thank you so much for being here. You know, you didn't have to like or send gifts, but you did, and that means so much to me. Thank you so much for being here. And I have a lot of, you know, I have a comedy tour dates showing up soon and a lot of fun things to get into. But for those who came, I love you guys. Thank you so much. And hopefully the app doesn't get banned here. And if it does, you can always find me on Instagram. The link is in the bio. You can go ahead and have a follow today. Love you guys. Have a great afternoon. Talk soon. Bye-bye. All right, everybody. I know that things get chaotic on the lives. It's very hard to keep straight on track when you have like comments coming in that are completely different questions and like you're answering one, but then you're reading another. But that is the way the cookie crumbles. Guys, thank you so much for being here today. As I spoke about a gazillion times, you can follow my socials on every platform. Hopefully continuing on TikTok for a while. If not, you know where to find me. Hot sauce in the show notes. The socks are going to be available soon. Tour dates are going to be coming up soon. And I just love you guys. So thanks for being here. Have a great day. And I'll see you next week. Bye-bye. Look out, baby. The saints are coming through. And it's all over now, baby blue. Artsy Fartsy Immigrants. Ein Podcast von John Prinz und Moritz Batscheider. Produziert für M94.5.